BBC News with Jonathan Izard. Hundreds of thousands of people in Nepal are spending a second night outdoors amid the devastation of Saturday's earthquake. More than 2,500 people are confirmed dead in the disaster, but the death toll could rise as some of the worst affected areas have still not been reached. Matt Davis works with the charity World Vision in the capital, Kathmandu. He's been speaking to people evacuated from the town of Pokhara near the epicentre of the quake.
I spoke to one man. He had been medevaced in to the hospital where I was in the very first helicopter. His village of 1,100 homes, almost every home was decimated. He estimated 90%. That's a village of over 2,000 people. There could be many other villages in a similar case where the entire village is all but gone.
Rescue and aid efforts are being hampered by blocked roads and bad weather. Patrick Fuller from the International Federation of the Red Cross said it was still difficult to access remote rural areas.
Getting into these areas is a big concern, it's a big question mark. We simply don't know the situation, nor does anyone, really, the scale of the damage outside of the Kathmandu Valley. There's a population of over 6 million people living in this area. We have Red Cross teams and units on the ground. We can't reach them. And even our own people have been affected in Nepal. We've lost a number of staff and volunteers.
The United Nations Children's Agency says the country is running out of water and food and there are frequent power cuts. It says almost 1 million children living in affected areas are threatened by poor sanitation and a lack of safe water. Rescuers in Nepal say an unknown number of mountaineers are trapped on Mount Everest, unable to descend after avalanches swept away their ropes and ladders. 17 climbers died on the mountain on Saturday. Police in Burundi have shot dead at least two people during protests against the selection of President Pierre Nkurunziza to run for a third term in office. Police fired tear gas, water cannon and live bullets at demonstrators in the capital, Bujumbura. The United States says the governing party's decision to nominate Mr. Nkurunziza means Burundi has lost what it describes as an historic opportunity to strengthen its democracy. From Bujumbura, here's Maud Julien.
Several groups of protesters in the capital erected barricades and threw stones at policemen, who responded with tear gas and live bullets. Protesters chanted slogans for peace, and one told the BBC they would not leave the streets until the president vowed to step down at the end of his term next month. More than 10,000 people have fled Burundi since mid-April, fearing electoral tension could spiral out of control.
President Hollande of France has warned of the dangers of persistent racism and anti-Semitism during a visit to the site of the only former Nazi concentration camp on French soil. He was taking part in a ceremony to mark 70 years since Allied troops liberated the camps at the end of the Second World War. Most of the 50,000 inmates at Natzweiler Struthof in Alsace were French resistance fighters, but they also included Jews and Gypsies. You're listening to The World News from the BBC. Prosecutors in France say that a second man has been arrested in their investigation into a suspected plot to attack a church near Paris. It's reported that the man was detained after evidence was found linking him to the chief suspect in the plot, a Franco-Algerian student, Sid Ahmed Klam, who was arrested last week. Israeli officials say that an Israeli airstrike on its border with Syria has targeted what they described as a group of terrorists carrying an explosive device. The Israeli army said the men were about to attack its soldiers. It says three militants were killed in the strike. There's been widespread fighting across Yemen with reports of airstrikes, naval shelling and ground combat in several cities, including the capital Sana'a. The strikes on Sana'a were the first since the Saudi-led coalition said last week it was scaling back its campaign against the Shia Houthi rebels. The American author Harper Lee has stepped in to allow her hometown in Alabama to continue to host an annual play based on her novel To Kill a Mockingbird that features local people. Ms. Lee set up her own company to produce the play, which has been running for 25 years, after the publishing firm decided not to renew the performance license. Connie Baggett has appeared in several performances and says the drama of racial injustice is an important part of life in Monroeville.
It's not uncommon to hear people quote lines from the play in the everyday situations in life, and particularly the cast members, because they're all seen about town just about any time you go. You're going to see someone who's a cast member there in the city. There's only 6,300 people, so it's a small town, and everyone knows everyone, and most everyone has a relative who's been in the cast at one time or another.
Dramatic Publishing said it was thrilled the play would continue to be presented in Harper Lee's hometown. And the BBC has revealed the shortlist for its inaugural Women's Footballer of the Year award. The five nominees are from Spain, Germany, Scotland, Brazil and Nigeria. The winner will be selected by members of the public who can vote online or via text message. The result will be announced next month ahead of the Women's World Cup in Canada in June. BBC News.